Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to talk about the Feast of Pentecost and its implications for your life and mine today. Before I do that, I just want to encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the program this week so far, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there, as are our TV programs, The Choices We Face, and Sister Anne's programs, Food for the Journey. And there's lots of, you know, inspiring talks and informative articles, our monthly newsletter, a lot of free stuff that's really good that can really help you walk out the reality of Pentecost in your life, to help it come alive in you, so that you can be everything the Lord calls you to be at this time and to fulfill the mission that He has for you. I also want to invite you to join us, Renewal Ministries, who I work for. We're celebrating in 2020 our 40th anniversary. We've decided to do a pilgrimage, an anniversary pilgrimage, walking in the footsteps of St. Paul in Greece. We've done pilgrimages to Israel and other places. We've never done the footsteps of St. Paul, and we just felt the leading of the Lord to invite us to do that. And so I want to welcome any of you who are listeners to join us. It would be really wonderful to meet you, to find out who you are, to just walk in the footsteps of St. Paul, to be able to give thanks to the Lord for 40 years of ministry together all over the world. And the pilgrimage is May 13th through the 22nd, 2020, May 13th through the 22nd. Dr. Ralph Martin will be there. I'll be there. Dr. Peter Williamson and a few others will join us that they're still working. Bishop Scott McKeag is planning on being there. It's funny to say that, but I will let you know next week for sure if he's going to be there, but there will be others as well. And we want to walk the footsteps of St. Paul together to just first give thanks to the Lord for His mercy, His grace of salvation. We want to thank the Lord for the ministry of St. Paul. We want to thank Him for the way in which He's led and guided us all these 40 years. If you want more information about the pilgrimage, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. Literally, anybody can come. If it's all you feel moved to come, come and join us. It'd be wonderful to have you. There's also a three-day extension cruise as well, which you'll find out more about. So anyway, back to the heart of what we're talking about today. Today, I want to just dive right into the Pentecost experience itself. So chapter 2 of Acts is described this way. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard from them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking, telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. They're drunk. They thought they were drunk. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But a little background to this whole story of Pentecost. First of all, Pentecost is a Jewish feast. It was one of the three pilgrim feasts of Israel. And so what that meant is that people from every tribe, every Jewish tribe from all over, the places that were actually mentioned in the reading here, came specifically to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. It came 50 days after Passover, and it was also the celebration. It was a harvest feast, was the heart of it. It was the first fruits of the fall harvest. It also was, it became over time, a celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So it was a harvest feast, a first fruits celebration, but it was also a time to remember the giving of the law. And that's significant for what actually unfolds here on the day of Pentecost, because what we'll see is there's a great harvest of souls that happens through Peter's preaching. But we also come to realize one of those fundamental things is that the new law is the Holy Spirit. in the human heart. It's the fulfillment of what some of the prophets of Israel said, that God would not simply write his laws on stone as he did on Mount Sinai, but that he would write his law in each and every human heart that responded to him. And that new law is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart of each person. So there are signs of God's presence, the rush of a mighty wind. They began to speak in tongues. And it's interesting, this manifestation of the gift of tongues in Acts is that people from many different language groups all heard them speaking. So when, I guess when Peter preached, for example, they all heard Peter preaching in their native tongue, which is amazing. It's a sign. It also points back to the story in Genesis of the Tower of Babel, when man was building a tower to heaven on his own strength, on his own power, and God scrambled their language so they couldn't understand each other. The Tower of Babel, we get the word babbling from it, right? So it's a symbol of the kind of discontinuity and disunity and division within the human race. And Pentecost is a day when the Holy Spirit comes and God begins to speak, and everybody, no matter where they're from, are able to understand, and they're drawn together. It's a sign of what God is doing. He's building a communion. He's drawing men and women together. Those divided are now brought together by God's action himself. He builds his kingdom. We don't build a tower to heaven. He comes down and he establishes his kingdom and begins his life in us. And so some of the crowd were absolutely struck. They seemed to get it right away, the wonder of it. Others were beginning to mock them and saying they were drunk. And then Peter stands up and he begins to preach and interpret for everybody what is it that they're seeing. And so it's important people heard God's presence. That's the Holy Spirit that was speaking through them in tongues. The mighty wind, they heard it. Also, we see Peter now in his role as vicar of Christ, and the apostles, all of them, the first bishops, you say their job is to declare the reality of not just what happened in the past, interpreting what's happening in the past, but also opening up and helping people both experience and understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the present. And so this is kind of the paradigmatic moment here for St. Peter. It says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes to describe what Joel, the Jewish prophet, had said would come on the last days. And he said, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So the giving of the law on Mount Sinai through Moses, Moses was anointed by God. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that made it possible for Moses to relate to God, to receive the commandments from God, to know what to say. And he was under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, moving him on a certain level. We see in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit on kings and prophets and others. But what we saw in them as a sign now becomes a reality in an even deeper way for everyone who comes to accept the offer of salvation that's given to us in Jesus. Here's God's plan. Peter's declaring it. Why are they speaking in tongues? Why is this mighty wind? Why do they have such boldness? And are they moving out? Peter's saying, because these are the last days that Joel himself prophesied. And what characterized those last days fundamentally was God's action and initiative in human history. And that would be the moment when he pours out his spirit on all flesh, not just a unique prophet or a king, but on all flesh, so that all can come and share in God's desire to interact with those who bear his image, with human beings. And so he said, in those days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, not just, again, one unique man like Jeremiah or Isaiah. Your sons, those who are hearing this, Peter's speaking to them, and we hear it now as the church proclaims it to us and brings it to each one of our lives. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. If you had a chance to tune in the program last week and I was interviewing Tom Namy, there were a number of occasions he described while he was in prison, and the Lord began to touch and change his life. One of the ways the Lord spoke to him was through dreams. He'd have very vivid dreams. The Lord would show him things that were about to happen in just a few days ahead. He's living in what the recent popes have reminded us is the grace of a new Pentecost. Pentecost is meant to be a perennial reality in the life of the church. We're celebrating a living reality here. We're not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago where we hear the story and we go, wow, wasn't that amazing? Yeah, that really was amazing. What a special day. What began there in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the river of life, the river of power in the Spirit flowing from the throne of Jesus Christ is being poured out into the world like a mighty river. And it has made its way through human history for 2,000 years. And there have been Christians, the saints that we know and many that we don't know, friends who have experienced some of these very realities in their life. They've experienced this life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit who leads them not only to holiness and deep union and passion for God and coming alive for God, but also equips them with power and manifests himself, that is the Holy Spirit, through signs and wonders and the like. So Peter will go on to describe here. He said, men of Israel, just prior to that, he continues to quote Joel, and he says, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor, and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes. So through the prophet Joel, God was saying he would pour out his Holy Spirit in the last days before the return of the Lord, the final judgment. That's what it's meant by the day of the Lord. And what we know is that these last days, as Peter's describing, we're in the last days of human history, which is the period of the church. That is when the church is brought into being by Jesus, and it's his instrument in the world for the salvation of the world, and exists between the first and second comings of Christ. The first time he came as a lamb with mercy to bring salvation, that's what characterizes these last days we'll see in Peter's preaching. A church that's completely alive in the way that the apostles were made alive by the Spirit, going forth in history and time, the time in the history that we've all been given to share in, to extend Jesus' call for salvation, his call to repentance to the whole world before the last judgment comes. Finally, the last verse on the prophet Joel quote, it said, and it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What Pentecost is about is salvation. It's about extending the saving work of Jesus throughout history. And it comes through people who are baptized into Jesus and have received the first fruits of that salvation and who are now anointed to be, as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, witnesses of the reality of what Jesus is doing as king, establishing his kingdom and bringing people into it for the sake of their salvation and the glory of God. Friends, I hope you can join me again tomorrow. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.